Lord, I just thank you again for your goodness, Lord, for your life-giving spirit, Lord, just that bountiful worship, not just in the heavenlies, but here on earth as you join together a people, Lord, who love you. Every hair on their head says, I love you, Lord. And in that love for you, we're joined together and we're made one. So I just thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here. And Lord, these few thoughts that you've given me, I'm just asking for broken bread, Lord, that you would just impart your spirit and life, Lord, that we might be able to receive. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was aware of the fact that it's Palm Sunday, and I guess we have been praising here this morning. But I want to read a few verses out of John chapter 12. And what I have is just a little bit different than what I told Donna was in my heart, but I think it will also tie together at some point. But John chapter 12, verse 12. It says, on the next day, much people were come up to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. This is a time of year where we focus, we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always in our hearts. It's always, but yet it's a time of year where at large this becomes the focus of the church. And we celebrate today not just because it's a tradition, because everybody else is doing it, or not just because it's a historic fact, but because we have experienced the resurrection power of Christ in our lives. That even as Christ was raised up from the dead, so we are walking in newness of life. He lives in our hearts. So it's with great, great joy that we can remember and we can focus on his resurrection. It's the basis of our faith. But it's also a time where we can consider the great price that he paid for you and for me. The way that Jesus came into Jerusalem is just one of the many Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled. We just read in John chapter 12, verse 13, how the crowd took branches, they took palm trees, and went to meet Jesus as he came into Jerusalem crying, Hosanna. Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. I believe we probably know that Hosanna, it's not just an exclamation of praise, but it's a Hebrew imperative. It means save now. There was something they were proclaiming, that they were shouting out. There was an expectation that they had as they were welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem. Quoting from Psalms 118, verses 25 and 26, says, Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. So by applying this psalm to Jesus, the crowd was giving Jesus the place of Messiahship, and they were calling on him to reveal his power. If you notice too, Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, upon the foal of an ass. So as they're applying these scriptures to Jesus as he's entering into Jerusalem, there's an expectation. And as was prophesied, Jesus was coming on a colt. He was coming on a donkey. Historically, kings in the Old Testament, if it was a time of war, they rode a horse. If it was a time of peace, they rode a donkey. So if you remember the expectation of the day, the return of the Messiah was to deliver his people. So Jesus was making royal claims, and they were recognizing him. They were applying these scriptures to him. But though he was making royal claims, he was not doing it in a military manner. And the disciples were bewildered by this. They were confused. He was willing to be recognized as the King of Israel, but yet he was unwilling to exert secular authority the way they thought he should. And it confused them. And it wasn't until after the resurrection that they literally gave up their expectation and took on a new focus. And if you remember, it was after the resurrection, as Jesus was about to ascend, that the disciples, they said, "Now are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And what Jesus answered was, "It's not for you to know the times and the seasons, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me to the uttermost parts of the earth." And if you notice from that point onward in the Gospels, the disciples never asked again. They never questioned about that again. Why? Because their expectation changed. And they began to understand the purpose of the Lord, that there was a kingdom that he was establishing, but it was not of this earth. And there was a witness, there was an empowering that was being given to them that they were being called to be faithful in during this time on this earth. If you study the life of Christ, Jesus's entry into Jerusalem was a transition point in his ministry. That entry into Jerusalem is recorded in all four Gospels, but it's a point where Jesus was turning from the crowds and all the miracles to private ministry, time alone with his disciples. John's Gospel, the first 12 chapters relate to his public ministries, and there's specific miracles that take place that point to his deity. But then there comes this transition in the next four chapters, chapter 13 through 17, one evening, private ministry to his disciples, those who were close to him. And then Passion Week, the last chapters 18 through 21. But at this transitory point, going from public ministry to private ministry, John 13, verse 1 says, Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. And knowing that not much time was left. He began to, as he focused on his disciples, as he focused those who were going to carry on the commission, what were the things that were on his heart? What did he start to talk about? He began to talk about servanthood as he washed his disciples' feet. Think about that. He began to talk about the Holy Spirit, that power that was going to be released within the disciples, that they might have a strength, a divine enabling beyond their own selves. He began to speak about abiding in Christ. Isn't that the key? These are the things that were on his heart. Knowing that the time was short, his final evening with the disciples, abiding in Christ. He began to talk about their relationship to Christ, their relationship with other believers, as well as their relationship in the world. Doesn't that hit it all? And then he prayed for unity. In John 17, at least 5 times, he prays for unity, that as he and the Father were one, that so we would be one with him. Knowing that the time, his time was short, these were the things that were on his heart, his final instructions to that church that was being birthed, to those who were going to continue the commission. And as we are approaching Resurrection Sunday, the celebration of his resurrection, of his life, we remember the cross. But we remember the power that was in his cross. We remember the power of resurrection. We remember the power of his life. Because it was not his death, but it was his resurrection that brought hope to the church and that birthed them up into his purposes. And it's that same power that causes the church to continue today. As we continue to move forward into the fullness of his purposes being made manifest in the earth. It was his resurrection that caused the disciples to become one in the upper room. With earnest expectation. They weren't there confused as they had been on Emmaus Road. They were together. They were of one accord. And they were full of expectation and hope because of the promise of the Holy Spirit, because of the resurrection, because of the understanding that they were coming into. And I want to say this as well. And I think we have some expectation and hope here this morning. I think that's what joins us together. Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah! It's true that someday we will experience that resurrection life and power. But today, Paul said, I die daily. In other words, I am to be resurrecting daily. And I think that's also where we find our unity, not just an expectation and hope, but in this daily resurrection we're experiencing. And then we find ourselves seated together. Hallelujah. Joined under his headship, moving with him in his purposes. But I am to resurrect daily into servanthood. So I lay down my own life, my own desires, my own wishes, my own ways. I am to resurrect daily into yieldedness, dependence on the Holy Spirit. That independent spirit, that which is to be broken, that I might be yielded, that I might hear, that I might obey, that I might move with Him. I am to resurrect daily that I might abide in Him, that He might abide in me, that I might abide in Him, that we might come into that walk, I call it practicing His presence, but where we're joined together with Him, whatever we're doing, there's an attitude of worship in our hearts and we're in fellowship and communion with Him. I am to resurrect daily in my relationship with Christ, but with other believers and with the world, that I would come up into this relationship that Jesus prayed that we would come into with Himself, with one another, and with those who don't know Him yet. We are to resurrect into that unity and oneness that is ours in Christ Jesus, that the Lord so desires us to fellowship and to dwell in. How good it is. How good it is. How good it is when brethren dwell together in unity, but that Spirit-given unity that comes from Christ Jesus. When we're experiencing that resurrection in our lives, and we're finding ourselves joined with others in that place He's calling us up into. How beautiful it is. How beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I am able to do that because of the power of the cross. It's not my good intentions. It's not my willpower. It's not my own strength. It's not my makeup. It's not any of that. It's because of the power of the cross, the power of His Holy Spirit that He has given to us, that as I lay down my life, I die daily, but I'm resurrecting daily, that His life can flow through me. As I'm willing to look beyond today, to His eternal glory, willing to give, to pour out my life for His eternal purposes. The crowds in the gospel, one day they're praising Him. The next day they're saying, crucify Him, crucify Him. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to have that kind of an attitude. There's a crowd in Revelation 19 who are shouting, Alleluia! The Lord God omnipotent, He reigns! They know not Jesus only as their Savior, but they know Him as Lord. And there's a new song coming forth, and I hear that song when I come here. But it's a new song that's been birthed within, and it's triumphant. It's a song that has been birthed even during times of adversity, during times of testing. But there's a song that has been birthed within a people. Alleluia! Our God reigns! Our God reigns! Alleluia! Our God reigns! Let us rejoice! Let us be glad! Let us give honor to Him. Our God reigns. Hallelujah. 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 sing for all of eternity. The praise of the one who loved me, who gave his life for me, who loved me before I even knew him and drew me to himself, then started to make himself known. Hallelujah. 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 I am so thankful for what God is doing in each of our lives, for that unity that we have as we come together. There's a Spirit-given unity. That unity is the most precious of all. I think the Lord loves unity on every level, but that Spirit-given unity, when you find it, it's precious. It's precious, and it's to be treasured, and it's to be valued. As the Lord is working in me, and he's working in you, there's a song coming forth. Yesterday, as we were having some prayer at the prayer chapel, truthfully, we were at a place where I thought we were done, and it's about time to have lunch, and a word came forth, worship me, keep worshiping me, and people responded, and that's where the greater, I mean, there was breakthroughs, but that's where the heavens opened, and the Lord just lifted us and brought us up into his presence. But I realized as I thought about that later just how fragile the move of God is. What if that person hadn't given the word? What if they would have sat there tongue-tied? Or what if we hadn't responded? We would have missed all that God did. But there's a working of the Lord that's taking place within lives. And these last weeks, there's some framework for this, some basic principles that I might share at a later point. But the Lord has been working in me in a way that beyond what I have experienced in some time. But there's come an inner alignment in my spirit. I don't know how else to word it. But the Lord has just taken me through some different points in my life and has given me new eyesight, new understanding, so that I could repent where I needed to repent, and so that I could be brought into an alignment with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that place where the Lord has called us is not so much a physical location, but a place in him. And he brought me into a place with him where I'm in alignment, where I know today that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, and that I'm positioned to hear and to move when he moves, to wait when he waits, move when he moves, but to stay under the cloud and to maintain that place of alignment. And sometimes when the Lord will go back and cause us to see things in a new way, he's creating platforms of faith for some. These corrections need to come. And if there's anybody in this room who is always right, I feel sorry for you because you're missing something. And not that we need to become overly introspective. And I wasn't looking for this to happen in me. I just happened to receive some emails that were talking about the glory of God and an urgency of spirit for his glory. And it released me into a dimension of his presence where the Lord began to work. And all of a sudden, I began to see this a little different and that. And it has to do with the progressive leading of the Lord in my life, that which caused me to be where I am today. And the Lord just brought an alignment where I know today I'm positioned, I'm in the right place, I'm exactly where I should be. Hallelujah. And I'm able to move now with greater freedom. I'm able to hear better. There's come an adjustment. But as the Lord is working in you, and as the Lord is working in me, and we can't make these things happen. I can remember my dad used to say, you know, I can't say 1, 2, 3, now let's all repent. It's a work of the Holy Spirit within. And I have experienced this multiple times in my life in multiple ways. And I can remember one time, now what I've experienced recently happened over a couple of weeks as I was just processing things, but with that touch of God. But I can remember one time when I was pastoring my first church. We had gone out, we'd had a good time, and I just said a joke. I thought it was funny, and people laughed. That's what they were supposed to do. But it was later when I just was walking from my bedroom up the hall, and all of a sudden, the presence of God hit me. And I heard my joke. I saw the holiness of God, and I saw my Adamic nature. And I went from thinking I was doing pretty good to, oh God, how could you have anything to do with me at all? There was such a deep repentance in me, and something changed in me. It's like I don't have to try to catch a joke when it comes out of my mouth. It's not in there to come out. You know, it's gone. Because there came such a repentance. But I have experienced this inner brooding of God's Spirit that brings inner change, a further alignment with the Lord, that there might come a further releasing of His Spirit, of His fullness in our lives, that we might be brought up higher into His plan and purpose. And I have experienced it multiple ways, instantaneous. I've experienced it just in my quiet times. I have experienced it like these last few weeks over a course of time. But we can position ourselves so that when the Holy Spirit knocks on the door of our heart to search us, to try us, that we are quick to recognize it and hear and respond and to move with what He is doing. There's a way that we can position ourselves, and I might talk about that more later sometime, which is what I was originally going to share today, but it was Palm Sunday, and I just wanted to share the thoughts that I did. But as He's working in you, and as He's working in me, see, that's where a good song service begins, because there's a song that's birthed within. You know, when Abraham offered Isaac, that's the first time worship is mentioned in Scripture. But there's that working of God within. Then the songs come forth. And as those songs of an overcoming people, a people in whom God is working, are expressed, there's a Spirit-given unity that pierces the heavenlies. Hallelujah. And the releasing of God's presence and the outworking of His purposes in the earth. Lucifer, he was created for worship. He exalted himself. He fell. He was cast down. Now he's being displaced through an overcoming people who are singing His praises today, tomorrow, forever, for all of eternity. And I like to say that the Lord is taking auditions today for that heavenly choir. Now's the time to tune up. Hallelujah. So that we can hit those notes. Hallelujah. 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 and white as we lift our voices to worship Him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the One who lives forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Glory.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Glory.
Hallelujah! 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 Let us rejoice and give honor to Him. Hallelujah. For that marriage of the Lamb is come. Hallelujah. God bless you.